The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
Yeah.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock,
just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock,
what do you think?
Just
I
like
love
that.
It. That was great. Thank you.
Howdy, folks. Me and you, Fellow Locks here.
Somebody's laughing. The other day, Donald Trump got Nikki Haley confused with Nancy Pelosi. I didn't find that real surprising because he's confused a lot. I guess... I was told by sources close to him that the other day he was watching one of my videos, and as I was doing one of my songs, Donald turned and said, that's Nancy Pelosi singing there, isn't it? Trump thinks that I may be Nancy Pelosi. He thought that Stormy Daniels was his wife for a little while there. He thought Sioux City, Iowa was Potosi. He thought his fork was possibly a knife. He thinks that being misogynist is manly. He thinks that being an idiot is smart. He thinks he has a really handsome family. I think he is a doddering old fart. I'm a little confused sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. Nothing like that.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mangy Fetlocks, everybody. That is today's guest. Yes. And thankfully... I think we've figured out the technical specifications for today. Let me tell you what happened. So yesterday, you know, I came on and my audio just sounded weird, and you guys were telling me it was very low. Hopefully, I'm turning it up now because as I see it, it's a little low. But hopefully, it sounds better today than it did the last few days because I switched out the computer. So I have two laptops. And one of them was being used for this other project that I was working on that has now left us. Women Who Rock is not happening. So the computer that I had streaming music for Women Who Rock is a little more powerful and has a lot more memory than the one that I was using here. And I was having some hiccups, you know, my gremlins, my usual gremlins. So I thought, let me switch the computer. So for the last few weeks, I've been using the other one and I've been having problems, most notably with the audio. And so when I had a guest on Zoom, it was scratchy sounding, right? It sounded like there was noise on the line, but it was in the computer. It was weird. So after the problems yesterday, I thought, let me just switch back. So that's what I've been doing all day. I switched the computers out, and though the sound is fine, I couldn't get the picture from that computer into the software that I use to stream video. There's a lot of moving parts here. So I've found another way to get the video in, and I sent it off to Bruce W. Nelson, a.k.a. Mangy Fetlocks, and... then I didn't hear back from him. And he's like, finally got back to me and said, we just went out of focus. Okay. And he said, I can't get it to work. I've been trying. I can't get in. It's like, oh, shit. So I sort of jury-rigged it. And I think it will work. So it's a big experiment. But hopefully the sound is better today than it's been. Is it? You guys, can you hear a difference? I know I can. Anyway, so before Bruce, also known as Mangy, joins in, let me share a little bit of the news that has been going on today. Because, you know, there is stuff happening. And of course, today is the day that New Hampshire votes. the first in the nation, because Iowa doesn't count because they don't really vote. They caucus, not to be confused with caucus, but they caucus. And they caucused, all right, last week. Fewer of them than have caucused in recent years. But it's so funny, funny curious, that we are not hearing a whole lot about that in the corporate media, that the, you know, they're not talking about how it was a tiny percentage of the Iowan electorate who turned out to caucus last week. So Trump got, you know, he's talking about this landslide victory. He got 51% of this tiny portion of Iowa Republicans. That's not a lot of people. I think, I don't remember what the number was, but they calculated like how much Ron DeSantis spent for each vote that, and it was something obscene, like, you know, I don't want to throw out a number because I honestly don't remember the number. I just remember it was obscene, like $10,000 a vote. And all I can think of is, you know, he would have been better served if he had just given that money to each individual person. Probably would have gotten more votes. Yes, I do know that death sentence, DeSantis, is term limited out in Florida. He can't run again. My husband seems to think that now that he's going back to Florida, somewhere he hasn't been in a while, that he will start to make noises to try to get the law changed so he can run beyond two terms. Either that or Casey, you know, the lovely Mrs. DeSantis, will somehow run and take over for the next two terms. I think Ron DeSantis, figuratively speaking, blew his wad with this ill-fated run for president because he was not ready. Not that he'll ever be ready. Have you seen him on the trail? And he's got no personality. So, he has a very highly inflated view of himself. But we spent a lot of time on DeSantis in the last few years. And guess what? Now we don't have to anymore. Because he's done. He's toast. He's stick a fork in him and those high-heeled boots. So New Hampshire, the first in the nation primary. Now, it's sticky because Joe Biden felt like he owed the people of South Carolina something. Because, well, South Carolina was responsible for him getting the nomination 4 years ago. Thank you, Jim Clyburn, who did some backroom deals and machinations and got everyone to drop out just before Super Tuesday, thereby handing the nomination to Joe Biden. And so Joe said, well, you know, Iowa shouldn't be the first in the nation and New Hampshire shouldn't be the first in the nation. For some reason, votes, Clyburn payback, he thought South Carolina should be. The one thing those three states have in common, none of them will ever go Democratic. None of them is going to vote for the Democratic candidate for president. Those electoral votes are not, electoral college votes are not going to the candidates from Iowa, South Carolina, or go figure, New Hampshire. So because of this, Joe Biden is not on the primary ballot in New Hampshire today. I guess the Dean Phillips or whatever that guy's name is. I'm guessing Marianne Williamson is. I'm guessing Robert Kennedy Jr. is, although I think, isn't he not running as a Democrat anymore? I thought he was running as an independent. I don't even know. But the Democrats have started a write-in campaign, so people will write in Joe Biden's name. Either way, it doesn't matter. Because what? New Hampshire has what? Maybe one or two electoral college votes, and they're not going to go to the Democrat anyway. However, you don't want to piss off the people in New Hampshire. You know, they're the live free or die people. I actually lived in New Hampshire for a little while. I did. Let's see. When I left LA in 2001, I moved to Taos, New Mexico. Programmed a really cool radio station there, K-Taos. Unfortunately, they say either the mountain loves you or doesn't. And the mountain didn't love me. I got altitude sickness. I also had panic attacks. I was a new mother. You know, I had just adopted Allison. I didn't know anybody in Taos except for the people I worked with. And the minute I got there, I realized I made a big mistake. Anyway, went from Taos to South Florida, got settled in South Florida, and then I got the call from this Boston station and to come up there and program it. So I did. The thing is, it wasn't really Boston. It was a station in Biden carried New Hampshire in 2020. I'm sure he did, but he didn't get the Electoral College votes, did he? Okay.
That's what carrying the state means.
Did Biden? So Biden beat Trump in 2020? Oh, cool. Okay, so never mind. I'm wrong. I could admit when I'm wrong. Thank you, David. David told me Biden won New Hampshire in 2020. So that's really stupid planning on his part, I think. Shows what I know. I can admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong there. Biden never won South Carolina. So this is a sort of a smack in the face. Anyway, so New Hampshire. So the station, the Boston station that I was programming, was actually in a town called Haverhill, Massachusetts, which is right on the border between Massachusetts and New Hampshire. On one side of the border is Haverhill. On the other side of the border is Salem, New Hampshire. And that's where I lived for about a year and a half. We moved up there. And Salem, New Hampshire is beautiful. Really. It was really nice. Unfortunately, the station that I was programming, 92.5, the river, still on the air up there, the owner was a nut job. You know, most radio stations are now owned by big conglomerates, Clear Channel, I'm sorry, iHeart Media, or Odyssey, which used to be Infinity, or I think that's it. There's a couple more. But, you know, you get the idea. Big corporations, very few mom and pops. And that's why I was attracted to it. But Steven Silberman was his name. And he was a nut job. And, you know, he either loved you or hated you. And he would come in my office and stick his finger in my face and go, "You're fucking on my radio station." Okay. You know, whatever. So anyway, I lived in New Hampshire is the point that I'm making. And it's an interesting place because in many, you know, there's the Boston bedroom community aspect. A lot of people commute from Boston into at least, you know, southern New Hampshire, Salem, where I lived. And then you get up further north, Manchester, Portsmouth. I'm drawing a blank at the names of the other towns. And it's a bit more conservative. But New Hampshire, the land of live free or die, likes to go against the grain. You might recall, however many millions of years ago it feels now, Hillary Clinton was leading Barack Obama by double digits in the polling before the New Hampshire primary, and she pulled out a win, surprising everyone. Same thing with John McCain. He was not polling well, and he won New Hampshire. So anything can happen there. And let me tell you, I'm really, really surprised that we haven't heard more about this. But, you know, remember Dixville Notch? The little hamlet of Dixville Notch is famous for being the first in the nation. You know, so the polls open at midnight on primary day in New Hampshire. And I think this year there are 6 registered voters in Dixville Notch. And they tabulated the votes and it was unanimous. Nikki Haley. They all voted against Donald Trump. Every last one of them. And I'm really surprised I haven't seen that. Now, then again, I'm not, you know, glued to the TV set or listening. And today I've been playing, you know, computer roulette and gremlin eradication. So what can I tell you? I don't know, but I did have Morning Joke on in the background for a good while this morning and never once heard them say that Nikki Haley had a blowout in Dixville Notch, New Hampshire. 6-0. She got every vote in that tiny town of Dixville Notch. Where's the media coverage of this? You know, I do believe that the media is so into the horse race aspect of the election that they, you know, they've given Trump every advantage, just like they did 4 years ago, like they did 8 years ago. And here we go again. Ed the Second says Trump was seen in Distilled Notch trying to get the secretary to find seven more votes. Good one. Good one, Ed the Second. That was a good one. See what? I like that stuff. So anyway, that's going on. I hope you're not spending any time today watching the breathless coverage of the New Hampshire primary, because who cares? Here's my prediction, though. I think Nikki Haley is going to pull an upset. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, she's still not going to win. Trump will be the nominee. Now, he may wind up in jail, in which case, I don't know what happens. And I know what should happen. But I don't know what will happen if Trump is the nominee. I guess we'll likely find out if Trump is the nominee and is a convicted felon, because that'll be historical. That'll be a first. And frankly, I'm sort of looking forward to it, but not because who did we have on? Maybe it was Friday. Oh, Marcy Wheeler. What Marcy Wheeler said Friday is there is a non-zero chance that we will see political violence in 2024. As much as I don't want to believe that, we know it's true because we know who Trump's followers are. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Distilled Notch. Yeah, I think that's funny too. What else? Oh, Nikki Haley is vowing to stay in the race, even if she loses to the former guy today. So there is that as well. We'll get into more coverage of tonight's happenings tomorrow, obviously. And we'll see what happens. Polling, the polls close at 7 o'clock Eastern in most parts of New Hampshire. So, but I'm sure there are still some that stay open till late. And, you know, it's that old thing. If you're in line when the polls close, stay in line because they'll let you vote. I don't think turnout's going to be that big because, frankly, the Republicans don't like their choices. And the Democrats, well, you know, it doesn't matter. So a couple other things before we bring on our guest. Some of the Trumpers are very, very upset today because the Supreme Court yesterday ruled 5-4 that U.S. border control could remove that wire, that barbed wire fencing that Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered installed, you know, in the Rio Grande across so that people trying to get to a better life will hit this like barbed underwater wire. And the Supreme Court said, yes, you can take that out. The Biden administration can absolutely remove that. So Paxton is saying the fight's not over. The Biden administration lawyers argued the appeals court decision turned the Constitution supremacy clause, giving federal laws precedence over state laws, on its head. Okay. That was the Paxton's lawyers of arguing that, just what happens when I read something cold. But Trump fans were calling in threats and you know, the typical kind of pushback they give whenever somebody does something they don't like to Amy Coney Barrett, because Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts sided with the court's leftward wing. I can't call them liberals. You know, Elena Kagan is not a liberal. Sonia Sotomayor is not really a liberal. Ketanji Brown Jackson might be, but she is a Supreme Court justice who upholds the law and doesn't let her personal politics influence her. But anyway, I digress. So the Trumpers are all now mad at Amy Coney Barrett because she didn't do their bidding. Give me a break. Just give me a break. Let's see. The E. Jean Carroll case has been delayed. Two things. First of all, Alina Habba Habba was exposed to COVID. Her parents got COVID and she came into the court on Monday. Was it Monday? Monday, yesterday, and said she wasn't feeling well. And then let it be known that she was exposed to COVID. She's sitting at the defense table next to Donald Trump. Now, I really personally wouldn't mind if Donald Trump got another case of COVID. I'm sure he's been fully vaccinated, by the way. But talk about irresponsible. The woman's not that bright. But it wasn't only her. One of the jurors fell ill. And the judge offered Trump's attorneys the opportunity to keep going with only eight jurors instead of nine. And they said, no, we'll wait. And so the judge will reconvene that case tomorrow, giving Trump, you know, free rein today to go party in New Hampshire, because that sounds like so much fun. So that's back on tomorrow. In overseas news, and here will be my last story, and we'll bring on our guest. Israel, and you know I don't talk about it very much these days because I know that I fall in a different category than a lot of my listeners. And I'm not going to preach to you, but I will point out the fact. Israel offered Hamas a two-month ceasefire as part of a prospective deal to free the more than 100 hostages still being held in Gaza. Now, the larger agreement would allow the safe passage out of Gaza for top Hamas leaders who orchestrated the attacks. Analysts say that draining Gaza of its leaders could weaken Hamas's grip on Gaza while also allowing Israel to continue tracking down high-value targets abroad. So this deal was floated, and then yesterday was the deadliest day for Israeli soldiers. 21 of them were killed in combat in Gaza yesterday. Single biggest loss of life for Israeli troops since the start of the war. And Hamas said, thanks, but no thanks. So there you go. Israel said, 2 months. We'll take 2 months to, you know, free the hostages and negotiate and figure out how to get past this. And Hamas said, no go. So, you know, there's two sides to every story. That's one. The other part, separate but somehow related, is the moron who now owns Twitter and changed its name to X, so it's now known as Shitter, Elon Musk, who lets Nazis on his platform because Twitter is overrun with them. And when you report them, nothing happens. He went to the site of Auschwitz along with the podcaster Ben Shapiro, a right winger. And now he's calling himself, quote, aspirationally Jewish. It's like George Santos, he's Jew-ish.
Bullshit.
Yeah, no, he's not. Just so you know, this is Elmo's latest effort to undo the fallout after he endorsed a big anti-Semitic post on Shitter. And don't buy it. It's all
bullshit.
And Elmo just needs to go home. He needs to go home and shut up. Okay. See, after that, I'm ready for a bit of comedy. Comedy along with the, I've often said on this program, now I've got to figure out how to get this this shot set up here. I have said many, many times on this show that music heals me. So I make no secret of the fact that after the former guy was elected, I fell into a really deep depression. And I'm someone who's suffered, fought depression since adolescence. So believe me, I've had many go-rounds with the ugly part of my psyche. But after Trump got elected, I was in a bad way. And the thing that finally got me out of it was music, because I'd been so far removed from it for too long. And I basically put my whole, well, not whole, but I put a huge amount of music on my iPod, still had an iPod, and I just would have it going all the time. And it helped get me out of it. Well, then, you know, you inject comedy along with the music, and you've got the combination that we need to fight the depression and the upset and the everything that comes along with all the shit we're going through in life. So one of the things that I turned to during the pandemic is, you know, finding fun parodies on the interwebs. So YouTube is just a minefield of creative people. Some not so fun, and others really, really talented. So I found a bunch of people, many of them around the world. I connected with Shirley Serban she's not in South Africa. She's in, I don't remember. She's somewhere over there, maybe in Australia. I think she's in Australia or New Zealand. She's somewhere far out. I connected with just a lot of people. But then one day I come across this guy on YouTube, and I'm convinced that it's the actor Jeff Daniels. Now, Jeff Daniels, just so you know, has a sort of side thing going on where he's a great musician. He's recorded a number of albums, and he's also very funny. So I come across this person on YouTube who's doing these songs, these political, they're not parodies because they're original compositions. And all I can think of is like, oh God, Mark, well, I'm drawing a blank. Of course, I'm thinking I can just spew the facts, and I think my brain is fried from all the computer stuff today. It'll come to me when I'm not thinking about it, or our guest will tell me. Anyway, he is a political satirist in song, and he's very, very talented. And he finally reached out to me. He said, I don't know why you insist that I'm Jeff Daniels. I'm not. My name is Bruce W. Nelson, sometimes known as Mangy Fetlocks. And it took a little back and forth before I finally believed him. And now, Bruce, I'm so sorry. I really, really, really thought you were Jeff Daniels.
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Hey, excellent. It was a great intro, because this is why I do this, to keep people sane, myself included. It's cathartic to write these songs. So, and once Trump came along, my God, I was writing all the time. I have 1,600 plus songs on YouTube now.
Oh, my.
I wrote 500 one year, and most of them were Trump songs. So I think I can probably say I have probably the largest collection of anti-Trump songs in the world.
Awesome. And they're at our fingertips on YouTube. Now, I got to tell you, Bruce's YouTube channel is a mouthful, because it's youtube.com/@ Bruce W. Nelson Mangy Fetlocks. Now your name is Bruce W. Nelson. Let's talk about you for a moment. I opened the show with one of your songs, so people who aren't familiar with you, although they listen to the show, they've heard you many, many times because I play your stuff. Bruce W. Nelson, who are you? What's your background?
I was a choir director for 41 years. I did church choirs. I did school choirs. I was in Minnesota for years as a choir director and a head of a music department. Went to Moscow, Russia, worked at an international school for 18 years there.
Wow.
Came back, did a little bit of teaching, but I've been a gigging musician for years. I used to play at the U.S. Ambassador's Place in Moscow and the British Ambassador's Place, So I played parties and things like that. It's always been a sideline of mine. I used to play in jazz groups and pop groups. I played in a group that did top 40 in country. I sang in a Renaissance group for a while. So I have a really varied background. I was also a motorcycle safety instructor for 10 years for the state of Minnesota.
Okay. So you've done a lot. You're not a child, obviously. So I'm guessing you're retired in terms of going to a regular job, which gives you more time to write songs.
It's fabulous. I'd heard about retirement. I didn't know how nice it was.
Oh. You know, I can't even imagine. I'd go nuts. Well, I do art, you know, because I have to keep occupied. And it sounds like you too. It's a different kind of art. You're writing songs. I'll play with, you know, painting.
My wife is doing the painting next door because her studio's next to mine, and she's a painter.
Oh, wow. Maybe she and I should talk one of these days. You know, I took up painting during the pandemic because I needed something to keep me occupied because it's ADD or something. I've got to keep moving at all times. So I discovered a whole new side of myself at 60. I guess when the pandemic started, I was 60. Anyway, you've got guitar in hand. I know you've got a few songs to share with us. So I thought maybe we'd start with one now and we'll talk and then we'll do some more.
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay, so
I got one I was thinking about, you know, DeSantis didn't quit his run. He suspended it because I think he wants that idea that he's hoping Trump will be hit by an asteroid and then he'll be back in there, or he's hoping that he could be VP. And Nikki's thinking maybe she'll be VP, and Ted Cruz is thinking maybe he'll be VP, and Marjorie Taylor Greene's thinking she'll be VP. So I thought we have this entire long list of these people that the sycophants that will do anything. So I thought I'd like to have a little song about that. So.
Okay.
A whole lot of mega folks are thinking, dang, I'd like to be the VP. Donald Trump would like to hang. If a second insurrection rears its head, I want to be the VP he wants dead. Ron DeSantis is still hoping he's the one Trump will have fetched. So at a later date, he'll be the one whose neck gets stretched. And Ted Cruz, as of recently, is sucking up nonstop. So if a gallows should be built, it's he that first will drop. A whole lot of mega folks are thinking, dang, I'd like to be the VP Donald Trump would like to hang. If a second insurrection rears its head, I just want to be the VP he wants dead. This Huckabee from Arkansas is hoping against hope Trump picks her as the VP so that she can test the rope. If it should hold and shouldn't break, she'll rate that rope a 10 because it means she'll get a chance to lie for Trump again. But on a slap this time. A whole lot of mega folks are thinking, dang, 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 I'd like to be the VP Donald Trump gets to hang. If a second insurrection rears its head, I just want to be the VP he wants dead. Josh Hawley is a sycophant who hungers for more power. He'd love the view you get from on a wooden gallows tower. The chance of being VP, there's no way he could resist, but he'd likely feel let down by the crowd he showed his fist. A whole lot of mega folks are thinking, dang, 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 I'd like to be the VP Donald Trump would like to hang. If a second insurrection rears its head, I just want to be the VP he wants dead. I just want to be the VP he wants dead.
Oh, Bruce W. Nelson, I just want to be the VP he wants dead. Perfect. It's just great. Now, I said Bruce W. Nelson, but you use this alter ego, Mangy Fetlocks. Now, who is Mangy Fetlocks? Where did he come from?
Mangy Fetlocks, I wrote some country songs many years ago. It probably goes back 30 years or something like that. And I told somebody said, well, geez, you know, you should try to do the country circuit. Well, I was a choir director. I had kids. I was a busy guy. I was rebuilding houses on the side. And I was like, no, I don't have time. I said, but if I ever do it, I'm going to use the name Mangy Fetlocks.
Uh-huh.
And it's been something that had been in my head forever. So I have that. And then I have a whole host of other little characters that show up now and then on my channel.
Oh, really?
There's the ardent Trumper whose name is Falcon E. Diet. Sounds like a French name, but if you say Falcon E. Diet real fast, right? You get kind of the idea of what
I got it.
Falcon is.
Uh-huh.
And
Yeah, there's a few other ones too.
Okay. Now somebody in the chat room, just so you know, somebody in the chat room just said, I don't think he looks like Jeff Daniels. So hold on a second.
I don't think so either. I don't even look like my twin brother.
Hold on. I'm going to bring up, I need to bring this to here. All right. Watch this. I did a very quick, just a search for Jeff Daniels. And here, watch, check this out. You do kind of look like him. Look straight forward.
Well, and, I suppose I kind of do.
Yes, you do.
If your glasses are kind of dirty and it's dark and it's in an alley, I've had a lot of people in that situation say, geez, you look like Jeff Daniels or Lassie. I've had both of those.
Or like who? Nancy?
Lassie. Yeah.
Lassie. Now, I thought you were going to say Nancy because your song today
was Nancy Pelosi.
Because Trump is confusing you for Nancy Pelosi.
It's like they say he has loops in his head that once he gets something in there, it just keeps showing up again. So, I mean, that is not at all unbelievable that he would say, I think that's Nancy Pelosi singing there. And, of course, his people that hang around him would all go, you're right. You're right, Mr. President. That is Nancy Pelosi. So how is he supposed to ever learn?
How? Good question. So Bruce W. Nelson, when you started doing these songs and realizing that this, you know, was a good way to spend your time during the Trump era, writing these songs, when did you decide, like, you're going to put one up every day and sometimes two?
That's only been since being retired because I've always been an extremely busy guy. I've rebuilt houses on the side, replumbing them, rewiring them. I mean, I've done everything. I used to work in construction. I worked in stained glass work for quite some time. My wife did glass design. I did building and window things. And I'm one of those, I'm not happy unless I'm doing a lot. So I'm tinkering. I've got three motorcycles. I stay busy with that type of thing. And I just have a lot of different interests. I was always one of those musicians that I loved music and I loved doing what I do, but I had so many other things I like to do too. And to me, that being kind of ADD, it's perfect because, you know, like when I buy houses to rebuild, I do a little wiring for a while, then I go out and I do some yard work, and then I go in and I'd sit at the piano and write a song, and then I could go in or I'd take my motorcycle for a ride. And I easily lose attention on one thing. So
I get it. Believe me, as someone with, I believe ADD, I know about you get distracted and you start on one thing. So you always need to have a bunch of stuff going on. Now, do you listen to others who do similar work as you? I mentioned Shirley Serban. Yep. I mentioned a couple of, there's one who's.
Mentioning Mark Russell at the beginning.
Mark Russell. Mark Russell.
Yeah. That's many years ago, people used to say, geez, you could do what Mark Russell does. And I said, yeah, but I don't think I want to. I'm not real big on doing parodies. Parodies are really easy for me to do. But I've always liked to just create my own
music.
You
do the originals. Well, I have a friend, Lauren Mayer. Are you familiar with Lauren Mayer at all?
I'm not actually.
So Lauren Mayer has been doing the same thing. She does a song a week, though you do one every day. But she also, let me see if I can, you know what, if I pull you over here, your picture may get covered up for a moment, but hold on. That's okay. I'll play you a Lauren Mayer song just so you get an idea of what she does. You know what? And here's one that I haven't played. And she does occasionally do an original, but she does a lot of parodies. But here, let me try to. There we go.
Doesn't
this is Lauren Mayer.
Doesn't seem to matter what we do. They're all determined to take away a woman's rights. I'm still reeling from the court charade ending Roe v. Wade.
Have you hit
now
it on the shore?
Oh, yeah. Yes. 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 Okay.
There we go. Let's
like
give it a second.
But he's just Ken, one of those sexist, jerky men. Thinks it's his destiny to run a woman's life and ignore biology.
So you get the idea. That's Lauren Mayer. And so, like, again, she does I've got to get the our picture back up. See, this is the problem of being my own producer and my own everything. It takes me a second sometimes to get the shot reestablished. So she does these one a week, and but you're a lot more prolific. But she's been doing this for a long time as well. And it takes a real talent to be able to keep a, you know, one eye on what's happening in the news and then turn it into creative, you know, comedy when with along with the songwriting and the singing and the talent. I give you so much credit for doing this.
Oh,
it's
thanks.
It's not I can't imagine it's easy, but it's got to be fun.
Oh, it's fun. My hero. I mean. Like I've told people, I said, I know there are some kids that their heroes when they're young are always sports stars and things, or mine were always songwriters.
Really?
And starting when I was like 6 years old, I used to watch That Was the Week That Was with Tom Lehrer's writing.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, I was a huge fan of Tom Lehrer as a little kid.
Tom Lehrer was another one.
I'm always very flattered when people say, you write so much like him. And, and especially my older style things, because he so often took like 1890s style tunes. And that's one I've got right now that I just wrote that I thought a 1890s tune would be really nice because both Trump and Biden were in high school during that time. So this was called Joe Biden's Just an Old Guy.
Oh.
Did you hear the piano on that?
Not really, but well, but
I'll play a little stronger if I can. Joe Biden's just an old guy. Donald Trump's an aged perv. We believe that's an advantage since we grade him on a curve. He's a con man and a grifter, so we know he's got great nerve. So while Biden's just a nice old man, Trump is just an aged perv.
Short and sweet, as many of them are. You know, sometimes you just, and it's true. You know, it's only in the last like week that the media has started to acknowledge that Trump's brain is mush, that, you know, confusing saying Nikki Haley when he thought it was Nancy Pelosi. It's like, and you're going to talk to me about Joe Biden being old?
Right. And, you know, recognize Joe's an older guy.
Yeah.
But I think remarkably articulate when he speaks still and certainly very knowledgeable. I mean, you know, and when they try to say, well, Biden can't put a sentence together. When you see this on, you know, like Fox and things like that, you're like, did you ever actually hear Trump speak?
Yeah.
You know, this idea that he, you know, all these disjointed sentences where it just flies from one thing to another. It's just terrible. So
yes, it is. The media is doing what they did, you know, 8 years ago. And it's really disconcerting. You would think they would learn a lesson, but they don't. So, Bruce, you mentioned that, you know, when you're growing up, the people you looked up to were these great songwriters. You mentioned Tom Lehrer, of course. He's in a class of his own. Well, along with Mark Russell, I put them in together. Mm-hmm. But who, like, what popular artists do you like? What do you listen to?
I had a rock band when I was 15 playing keyboard. So we played The Doors and Creedence Clearwater Revival and Bee Gees, or the early Bee Gees things. And
before Saturday Night Fever.
Steppenwolf. And yeah, so I've always had really eclectic tastes. I have a sister that's a classical singer and retired. Sang with Chicago Symphony for years. Oh, wow. And excellent. I mean, a studio musician and fabulous singer. But my twin brother and I were the youngest of the five kids. So by the time we got along, my mom wasn't real good at making me just stay and practice the piano like I should have. So instead, I was listening to Ray Charles. You know, I was kind of rocking on trying to I would put on Ray Charles records and try to play along when I was, you know, about nine. So.
Mm-hmm. And what part of the country are you in?
Northern Wisconsin.
Ooh.
I grew up, I'm not far from where I grew up, but I had grown up on a little tiny dairy farm in Northern Wisconsin. And, it was a good place to grow up. We all, everybody ended up quite successful. We had two engineers out of the group and then a songwriter, and my sister has a Grammy for her classical singing. And, nice. Then I just had a brother that just got rich. So
how did he get rich?
Just hard work, investing. He built, rebuilt houses and things like that. And, even when he was working other jobs on the side, he'd be working nights and things and rebuild houses and things. So
that's not the twin brother or no?
Nope. My twin brother is a retired mining engineer out in Colorado.
Wow. So, you're retired and you still live in Northern Wisconsin. We're allergic to the cold. So we escaped.
I'm
from
not
Florida,
real fond of it.
but you're there. Is that because you've got a granddaughter.
Yeah. I've got a granddaughter. Like you, I'm an adoptive parent. So, we have two sons. One's a gigging musician and the other one does, you know, electronic music shows on the side. And then we have a Russian daughter that we adopted over in Moscow.
Oh, wow.
She's in her 30s now, and we have a granddaughter with her. And we have a grandson.
Nice. Oh, wow. Yeah, daughter, you know, I adopted from Kazakhstan, and this is just a heads up to the listeners. She's coming out to visit in 2 weeks, so I'm going to be taking a few days off.
Because, oh, fabulous.
She's in Florida. I'm trying to convince her that she should move here.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really like it here. But for motorcycling and things, it's great. The season's short, but this year we're sticking around. Last year we went and spent 6 weeks in Greece rebuilding a guy's house for him.
Wow.
Because we found somebody that really needed some help, didn't know anything about that. And I'm like, hey, I'll come and work on it for nothing if we stay there. So we were in outside of Kavala, northern Greece. Fantastic way to spend the winter, you know. And so
nice. Good idea.
Always interesting thing to do. And I could continue to write music there. I had internet that I could.
Right. I remember you were posting from over there. Right. I didn't realize that was what you were doing. But what a great idea. You know, there are things. I have a sister who I don't talk to anymore, but she lives in Ocala, Florida. And she does these. There's a website called Workaway. And you can sign up to like go to Italy and work at, you know, you do what you excel at and you get free room and board and you do your work for whoever it is over there. And she's had people come and stay with her, helping her with the yard and gardening and stuff like that.
So I just heard of that, I think 2 days ago, a friend was telling me about doing this. And I thought, that's right up my alley. I mean, I love a working vacation because, like we said, there are so many people. They have toured all over Greece, but how many have gone to the hardware stores and gotten to know the people?
Right.
And then when I was there, I was writing songs about the local coffee shop and stuff. So it was just a hoot. You know, like people would stop at this coffee shop and they're like, you are a local celebrity, you know. They're quite excited.
Now, do you put your songwriting talents to work in Wisconsin with local political figures? Do you,
I played for people, the wonderful Paul Wellstone years ago. I played a fundraiser for him.
You?
So I'm linked into doing some of those. For years I was writing for like church choirs and school choirs. I have a lot of children's songs out. I had one year I think I put out 45 new children's songs in three different books of collection.
Oh.
So I've always had my fingers in all kinds of different musical projects, but I've offered now that we had moved this summer to a little different area. So I've told people nearby I played for some a local little fundraiser recently for a village center. But I said, if you have political stuff, I said, if it's for the Democratic Party or liberal causes, I play for nothing.
Oh, good. So, do you know my friend Lisa Graves? Because she lives in Wisconsin, too. Lisa Graves runs an organization called True North Research, and she's in northern Wisconsin. I'll have to connect you to.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because first of all, she's brilliant. She's been doing this. Before True North, she ran a group called Center for Media and Democracy, and they're the ones who brought us, who exposed Alec, who told us about the Koch brothers. Now she's been teaching us about Leonard Leo and all these dark money groups. And this is her thing, and she is in Wisconsin. So I'll send an email and introduce you to.
Yes, please
for
do.
All I know, you're neighbors, and she, you know, you should know each other. Yeah, I've never been to Wisconsin, but I do know it's the land of Paul Wellstone and Fighting Bob La Follette. And, Wisconsin has a long history of progressive politics.
Tradition that was, ripped apart under, Governor Scott Walker and things like that. So sad, what happened to what was a wonderful tradition.
Yes, horrible. And Scott Walker... was the model, I think, for Ron DeSantis, because when he entered the race, I told everyone, watch, he's going to implode just like Scott Walker did. So, I'm looking at your Facebook page and you've really taken off your videos. What I think when I first found you, because, I discovered you, you were getting a few hundred hits on each one. Now your video, the video that you put, the one that I opened the show with, Trump thinks that I may be Nancy Pelosi, you put up 6 hours ago and it already has almost 3,000 views. So
I've been the last week. I've been averaging about 70,000 views a day.
Whoa.
With all the videos. So some of them have just gone completely nuts. I've got one of them from within 8 or 10 days, I think is at 200 some thousand.
Oh my God.
I've had a few now and then as they've gone great. Like my biggest one years ago was Moscow Mitch, where I did that one had about almost 500,000.
Wow.
So it's come, but there's just been a huge jump in it recently. And so I think I had a couple of songs that usually they're the ones that really get the liberals mad. And I really get the hateful things from the Trumpers.
It gets the liberals mad. Why do you make?
I get the liberals really excited about it.
Oh, gotcha.
I get the Trumpers just furious that I'm going after Orange Jesus. So,
here's one. I'll just play this for everyone. This was just 2 days ago, and I guess I didn't play it when it first came out. And hold on, let me try to pull it up here if it will allow me. Do I not have that window? Well, maybe I'll just play the audio because...
Howdy, folks. Mangy Fetlocks here. I'm revisiting a song that I wrote about a year ago for one of my video shorts. Wanted to add a few more lyrics to it. A lot of Bible-thumping people pray that Jesus won't return, because they know that if he does, he'll call them out and they will burn. While they may have made great fortunes claiming to be holy men, they know that they'll be in deep shit if Jesus shows up here again. While pretending to preach gospel, they've had something else in mind, and it's not to serve the poor by being generous and kind. Their primary motivation is amassing piles of cash to help buy another mansion jet or help top off their stash. The Christian right is often neither one. They may like Jesus, but they love their gun. They're terrified with poor folks, heaven could be overrun. The Christian right is likely neither one. They will quote the Bible, often never hearing what they say. It's to them a kind of talisman, the same as when they pray. It's performative theater, and their acting's pretty good. They won't likely get an Oscar, but I feel they really should. The Christian right is often neither one. They may like Jesus, but they love their gun. They're terrified with poor folks. Heaven could be overrun. The Christian right is likely neither one. The Christian right is likely neither one. They may like Jesus, but they love their gun. They're terrified with brown folks. Heaven could be overrun. Christian right is likely neither one.
Woo! Bruce W. Nelson, also known as Mangy Fetlocks. Thank you. It's just so good that I'm glad to see you're getting widely distributed, that people are knowing you. And I'm glad you're running commercials. So hopefully you're making a few bucks.
Yeah, it's suddenly turning into a really nice little sideline for my retirement.
Very nice. Very nice. So do you ever do live shows? Do you rent a place?
Since COVID era, I haven't, because I used to play in jazz groups and things. So I had done lots of live things for years. And I'm also part of a theater company. I'm the musical director for a small theater company up here. So I wrote all the music for a really fun original melodrama last year that a friend of mine wrote. And I'm getting ready to do a Valentine's Day show coming up. So I'm doing all the accompaniment and arranging for that. So I stay pretty busy with a lot of things like that. But I'm hoping to do more of the Mangy Fetlocks, just live things, because I love a live audience. I mean, I have since I was a little kid. I was one of those few kids that, would get up on stage and just be absolutely glowing up there. So in Moscow, I wrote a lot of, for expats, I wrote a show called Notes from Moscow that I wrote about 80 songs for over the years that I did it. And it raised 20,000, I think, plus for charities. But I used to do that for different groups. It was a blast. So, I love performing in different ways.
Very cool. Do you have one more?
Oh, yes, I do. I have a... This one is a Trumper marching song to get them really excited. It's called Our Candidate is Great, because he's a rapist. Our candidate is great because he's a rapist. The kind of guy who really gets things done. His temperament is so he won't accept a no, and screaming will not stop him having fun. Our candidate's a pervert and we love him. Among our lot there is no finer man. Though some may find it odd, we think he's picked by God. And raping the whole nation is his plan. So we'll support him any way we can.
That's awesome. I hear the piano very faintly. It's weird because the computer audio is picking up your voice, but the instruments, for whatever reason, it's
sitting right atop my baby grand. You'd think it would be just blown away, but it's really odd. So
it is weird. Streaming audio is weird. It's the bane of my existence. I battle it every day.
I hate the technical stuff. I like to have somebody else take that. So
tell me about it. A quick question. Somebody, Diane, asks, I wonder if his twin brother sings as well as he does.
My twin brother and I are so dissimilar. He was the smart one. He was the one that made lots doing being a mining engineer. So in many ways... he was the wise one. I was always the foolish guy that had the rock band and stuff, and way more into motorcycles and things like that. So we are twins indeed, but we are very dissimilar, like
not
different branches.
Not identical twins.
Nope. Okay. Like I always say, I look more like my mom. He looks like more like our old mailman for some reason.
Touché. Bruce W. Nelson, also known as Mangy Fetlocks. What a pleasure. I love hearing your songs, and I always know that if I need something, a good pick-me-up to start the show, you've written one and recorded it and posted it that day, and the world needs more people like you.
Hey, thanks so much. It's really a pleasure being here, Nicole.
And it was for me, too. One of these days, I'll have to thank Jeff Daniels for bringing us together.
Absolutely, yeah. Hey, and then you made me discover his music. I love that stuff he does.
He's
like Blue Valiant is my favorite.
He's a great musician. And if you haven't heard Jeff Daniels' music, go seek him out. I mean, he does some humorous stuff, but he does serious music, too.
He's a wonderful songwriter.
He really is. And you have a similar, I think, timbre and cadence to your voice, I think. And that's why, there is a resemblance. And that's why I was so sure you were him.
Yeah.
But again, I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong. And in this time, it was a very nice revelation. Bruce Nelson, so nice to meet you and talk to you. And you're welcome here anytime.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bruce W. Nelson, Mangy Fetlocks, everyone. And I will link to his obviously his YouTube page over at it's youtube.com/@BruceWNelson Mangy Fetlocks, all rung together. You'll find them. Anyway, with that, we're done. That's the end of it tonight. Of course, we'll watch the returns. We'll see what happens. But whatever happens, and if things are getting you down, if Trump is making you depressed, turn on some music. And if it has a bit of humor to it, you can't go wrong. All right. I'll see you all tomorrow. Peace out.